सेवा
becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one
increases life's illusion of things in terms of mind. The attraction for material things is certainly due to illusion. There's no value in attraction to material things for the conditioned soul diverted by them. Once life is successful, it is absorbed in the attraction of Krishna's strength, beauty, all kinds of pastimes, as described in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The mind values are attracted to merging the existence of the Lord, but Krishna is more attractive than the desire to merge. The word abhava means not to take birth again in the material world. The devotee doesn't care whether he is going to be reborn or not. He is simply satisfied with the Lord's service in any condition, that is real mukti. One who acts to serve Krishna with his body, mind, intelligence, and words is a liberated person even within this material world. A person who always desires to serve Krishna is interested in ways to convince people that there is a Supreme Personality of God, and the Supreme Personality of God is Krishna. That is his ambition. It doesn't matter whether he is in heaven or hell. This is called Uttamasvaka Lalasa. Translation of Sugriva Goswami continued, my dear king, the activities of Bhagavan are wonderful. He gave up everything he did with no brothers to give up. He gave up his kingdom, his wife, his family, his opulence was so great that even the demigods envied it. Yet he gave it up. It was quite befitting a great personality like him to be a great devotee. He could renounce everything because he was so attracted by the beauty, opulence, reputation, knowledge, strength, and renunciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Krishna is so attractive that one can give up all desirable things for his sake. Indeed, even liberation is considered insignificant for those whose minds are attracted to the loving service of the Lord. So as the previous verse mentioned, he was able to very easily renounce all these pleasures of family life and of being a king. So these are mentioned here, Shiti Sutta, Bhajana, Arta, Dharam, etc. Which even the best of the demigods desire. So in other words, his position was greater than that of the devatas in terms of enjoyment. So he gave that up. Normal circumstances, difficult to give up, yet he gave up all of that. Why? Because it was attraction for the Lord. So it says here, Seva Anuraka, he has this attraction for serving the Supreme Lord. And therefore, even liberation, stopping birth and death, was insignificant for him. So this is a quality of bhakti, that if one performs bhakti, liberation becomes significant. That is mentioned in the first part of the nectar devotion. One of the qualities of bhakti is simply that, moksha vibhuta kritam, that liberation is considered to be insignificant. In other words, renunciation of all these different things is usually associated with desire for liberation. We want to get free of bondage, and therefore we try to renounce everything because they are causes of bondage. That is not the case here, because he was not interested in liberation. So why did he give up everything? Simply because he was more attached to the Supreme Lord. So if one becomes attached to the Lord, everything else becomes insignificant. So everything in the material world becomes insignificant, and even the liberation from the material world becomes insignificant. It is not that he purposely desired to renounce. Rather, he simply had great attraction for the Supreme Lord. Consequently, he had no attraction for anything. So this was so even when he was not renounced. when he was living as a king, still he was attracted to the Supreme Lord more than anything else. And therefore, when he did take vanaprastha, it was not difficult to leave all these things. So following the varnashram system, he did renounce them visibly and literally, but he was already detached from them, and therefore when he left, he did not feel any attachment for these things. So it was very easy for him to renounce everything because he was already renounced. But he was renounced because he was simply attached to the Supreme Lord. Usually this cannot happen. If we're attached to something, that something is material. And therefore we can't give it up, and that leads to further attachment. Or, if we are attached to liberation, then that is an impetus to give up things. But if we're not interested in liberation, how is it possible to give up attachment to material things? So the only other thing is to become completely attached to the Supreme Lord. Whatever is available within liberation is also available in attachment to the Supreme Lord. However, simply getting liberation means that we have to purposefully reject everything in the material world. When one becomes attached to the Supreme Lord, one doesn't have to reject everything in the material world, because those things do not lead to attachment, and therefore bondage. That attachment to the Lord is so wonderful that automatically one is saved from bondage in the material world. So we know that, of course, bhakti is klesha ni. It destroys all suffering. It destroys all karma. It destroys all bondage. It destroys all desires. It destroys ahankara. It destroys avidya. That is its nature. So, without endeavor, attachment to the material world is already accomplished by cultivating attachment to the Lord, which is bhakti. And consequently, liberation is already achieved. And therefore, one does not have to strive for liberation. So, these, of course, are secondary symptoms. They're not the goal of bhakti at all. The goal of bhakti is more attraction for the Lord, more dedication to the Lord. And as that increases, attraction to everything material automatically decreases. The reason is, of course, the nature of bhakti is that it excludes material motives. So if we're genuinely attracted to the Lord, that must exclude attraction to the material things. Therefore, it says anya abhilasha sunya gami karma vinavartam. Bhakti is without desire for anything else. So when one dedicates oneself to the Lord, dedication to everything else decreases, obviously. But the attachment to the Lord does not breed further bondage. If we attach ourselves to anything material, definitely that's going to create more bondage. But when we attach ourselves to the Supreme Lord, it does not create any bondage at all. Rather, it destroys all the previous bondage that is there. The reason, of course, is that by attachment to the Lord, all of one's ignorance and misconceptions are destroyed. And these misconceptions are the root of attachment to the material world. So in other words, we have avidya as the first cause, which leads to identification with body and development of desires and mind and senses and uncontrolled activities in this material world, leading to karma, leading to bondage and happiness and suffering, which is described in this chapter. So the process of bhakti destroys ignorance. and therefore the root of all the problems in the material world, including bondage, are destroyed without any extra effort. So, Bharata was such a person that his dedication to the Lord was so strong that his attachment to material things was very, very, very little. And therefore, he could give up all of these things very easily and go off to the forest without feeling any difficulty at all. So, it's described previously that he was absorbed in his activities of worshipping the Supreme Lord in the forest. And the Lord appeared before him. And he felt great bliss in serving the Supreme Lord. He developed symptoms, sattvika bhava, as a result of his service to the Supreme Lord. So that was his exalted status. Right? Unless one is a very exalted person, the Lord will not appear. He only appears to a very rare person. So Bharat had achieved that status, and therefore the Lord appeared before him and even increased his attraction. And therefore, he was in a very, very exalted, rare position, rarely achieved by anybody. So this is why the sages are praising him in these verses. The idea is that they are praising him not because of his attachment, but because the cause of his detachment. The cause of his detachment was his great attachment to the Supreme Lord. Now, unfortunately, in spite of the great attachment, he became attached to a deer, which sounds unlikely, because if he could give up his family so easily, why would he become attached to a deer? But he did. That's the nature of the material world. Sometimes things happen. But in spite of that, he did not fail. So that is the whole purpose of the story, to show that because of his exalted position, he achieved perfection, in spite of the fact of remembering a deer, becoming a deer in his next lifetime. So that was his great position of devotion. So because he had reached the stage of bhava, even if he fell from that position, the Lord made arrangements for him so that he could progress further. So there was a slight interruption in that he had to take birth as a deer and therefore couldn't serve in the same way. And nevertheless, the Lord gave him memory of his previous birth, etc. So he could very, very carefully arrange his lifetime so that in the next lifetime he could get his perfection with great determination. So this also illustrates the great affection the Lord has for his devotees. And the more elevated they are and more devotional they are, the more attraction the Lord has for them. So that in the stage of prema, the Lord can never separate himself from his devotee. The devotee can never fall. And bhava stage, yes, he can fall. And prema did not fall. Why? Because of the Lord's attachment to that devotee. So therefore, the sixth quality mentioned in Nectar Devotion of Bhakti is Krishna Karshani. That bhakti attracts Krishna. So that bhakti which attracts Krishna is prema bhakti. That doesn't mean that Krishna is not attracted to other types of bhakti like sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, but he is most attracted to praying bhakti to those devotees. So he's willing to give himself to those devotees. So those devotees never leave the Lord, they never fall from the position of prema. They're eternally with the Supreme Lord. So when the Lord promises, you come to me, you never go back to the material world, that refers to the prema bhakta. You see, obviously people at lower level can fall. Even Bharat fell from bhava level. What to speak of people on sadhana, they can fall. But on a prema level, the Lord says, you never fall. So that is the difference. So Bharat achieved that level as Jad Bharat, he finally achieved that level
the highest level. In Bharat, there was a Bhava level. Then there was interruption of the body of the deer. Then in his next lifetime, he achieved the highest level of prema. And therefore, he attained his perfection. So, such a person is praiseworthy, and therefore here the sages are praising these last verses, concluding the story of Bharat and Chatbharat. Well, no, as I said, because they are on a very high level, the Lord shows them more favors. So he showed great favor to Bharat by arranging for his perfection at that stage. But even in the stage of sadhana, the Lord takes care of the devotee. In Bhagavad Gita it says, I supply what you lack and preserve what you have. So the Lord takes care of even those devotees. But of course their level is lower, so the arrangements are on a lower level also. And for one on prema, of course, then the Lord completely takes care of that devotee. What is it? Of course, there are different reasons. One, of course, can be this great tamasic state, which will disallow that sinful activities, etc. The other is aparad, whatever. And of course, if one is asuric by nature, that is hostile to the Lord, that's another problem. His nature is to be hostile to the Lord. In other words, no faith. Then he has no attraction. So, even if one has developed a little faith, there may not be such attraction, or it may advance, not develop very quickly because of aparas or whatever, tamasic state, etc. Yeah, well, that of course is not exactly a friend of a devotee, that was a yogi in general. The Lord takes care of devotees in a very special way. And he will do exactly what is necessary for the advancement. Because Bharat was at a very advanced stage, it would be very difficult for him to find equal devotees and equal family to be born into, for one thing. And the other is, of course, is to again illustrate the fact that the attachment to Krishna is higher than anything else. So even being born in a Brahminical family was not an attraction for Bharat. His only attraction was the Supreme Lord. So therefore he rejected all the Brahminical activities completely as being insignificant, of not useful to him at all. So in other words, he was beyond the whole Varnashram system. So that is illustrated by his conduct in relation to all of that. He found all of the obstruction to him. So he didn't partake of anything. Thank you.